Oh, the placement of it. They want the runway longer, right?
Yeah.
They want things to film better. They want to move the Marshall table.
And then open up the room, obviously, so the medical table. I mean, they're great ideas, but I don't know how much
they did open up the back room a little with the crane in there, right?
Well, sure.
With the crane or the jib, they opened up the back room a little bit for that, right?
But he's not happy with that. They didn't have a jib in there last year.
I know, that's why this year the warm-up room is bigger to accommodate that
jib. I don't know, maybe.
And he's not happy with the placement of the stationary camera to the side of the Marshall table. It's too close.
Good morning, listeners. This was a long intro.
Yeah, it happens organically.
Exactly. Yeah, we are back.
He's a new man.
We talked about it. I'm a new man. I got almost 7.5 hours of sleep last night.
Oh, very nice.
I feel like I'm on cocaine right now. This is amazing. Should
just
do that
kidding,
every time.
Just kidding.
I mean,
it's a clean podcast.
White Marble City.
They call it White City, right?
They're doing coke off of it.
So we had breakfast again in the cafeteria in the hotel, and current topic is the production and how everything has been going super smooth. You said you've got it down to a science now.
I feel like we did, like, every information up at the table from Mike and Mark in the back, and we can relay that out. I don't know what they're saying to Peter and Ryan in the truck, but it's usually working. And every now and then, you know, Peter comes in our headsets. It's just like, especially now.
And the production crew, really knows weightlifting by now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really.
Private session down the chain.
That's great.
That's cool.
And actually, stop that.
Yeah.
An hour.
Yeah, an hour's done.
Do you guys think it would be helpful if the spiders had direct connection to you guys, or is that just too much chatter?
For me, it'd probably be
too
much
distracting. Yeah.
I like it the other way. Peter's perfect. I don't need, and
he's
hear
the go-between.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. I don't want to hear.
He can filter the information.
Yeah. He washes
the context that would be useful for the TV, because we probably know it a little bit differently, you know. So I think, like, Mark's.
But I'll say it again. Like, I would love to hear what you guys are saying. Like, I would love to hear what you guys are
saying. Well, I can hear the three of you sometimes, especially for David. I don't know why. The bleed, I can hear him. And then I hear Brian sometimes. It might be just how Peter's hitting his button. I don't hear Sandy at all.
I don't hear Sandy.
She's completely
general. So, but no, I think it's nice getting it on WhatsApp, just because you can choose to attend to WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to ignore it.
Or maybe, explain that to the listeners. What are you getting on WhatsApp, and what are you getting on your audio?
So in my headset, I hear JP and Waxman.
Okay.
And then Peter, the producer, can
also... We refer to as the voice of God.
The voice of God. he can basically come in and speak to us directly. And we also have a direct line to him that's private. So
you press a button.
Press a button, and you can talk directly to the voice of God.
He'll take feedback. Like, there are times where you'll be like, Peter, we really want this.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, okay.
Unlike the real God, he actually takes feedback.
That's amazing.
He actually listens to your prayers and requests. Yeah.
That's great.
So we can talk to him directly, he can talk to us directly, and then, where was I going with that? So, and then Mike and Mark are sending us WhatsApp messages with things like, so-and-so. So did you see Jenny Arthur, by the way, I got two of yours.
Misses.
She missed her last two warm-ups in the back.
Right, so like, stuff what? Like that
for
is what gets
drugs?
Right to us.
For Snatch?
No, for Snatch, yeah.
Yeah.
So we,
her opener was great.
Yeah.
They were her
first two Snatches were looking great. She was super
a little,
unstable,
yeah,
like, wobbly.
A little
But
backward.
The third was...
But that would have been, that opening attempt for Arthur, what was it, 1-2?
1-2, yeah.
Would have potentially been like the third straight miss. So we were floored when she came out and made it. We were like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, but we even set that up. Like, and that's the kind of thing that they're feeding us from the back. Like, our WhatsApp is just exploding the whole session.
Nice.
With warm-up updates from these guys.
It's great. My WhatsApp is literally just 180, you know, it'll just say like 6-180.
And number just, the lifter.
Number the lifter and their attempt. And then it'll be like 7-170M. You know, so-and-so made a miss. Or now we figured out 8-120. And then it'll say 1-2, which means...
With the space between.
With a space. took 120 in between first and second attempts.
Yeah. It's cool, and then you'll even know, like last night with the 102s, like some of them were taking like crazy
jumps. Yeah,
like they would do like 20 kilo separation from their last warm up to their open.
Yeah,
what?
And the cleaners goes.
Yeah,
there's a couple of them 20 kilo.
I don't remember, but yeah.
Yeah, so, it's cool to
but
see.
But like
that.
We're getting like, shit, like, and then sometimes.
Schumacher,
I think number seven.
Like, one
I only know of his numbers now.
190 to 210, and then like sometimes like if something. Like interesting happens, we'll get like a full diatribe of
nice.
You know, coaches thank are you. Fighting back here, it's chaos, like
awesome.
Unfortunately that doesn't happen. Well,
so country doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, we've been a lot of those this week.
There's a lot of those unfortunately this week, and we'll know we're not going to field countries not to our sovereign soil.
But I do feel like it's like a well-oiled machine by this point.
Yeah, it's cool
in terms of how the information is conveyed. And
ready for another 2 weeks, man. already got it down.
We're going to step out and do like an hour or 2 hours.
Just keep going over there. Nobody's there. Just start talking, making stuff up.
We need to keep the podcast running.
Yeah, just keep,
I'm just here for the podcast. I just came to Turkmenistan.
Greg was going to shut his whole operation down to the podcast.
We're going
to
do like an hour or something.
Hour and a half. Nice. Yeah. What's going on? Shut this off a little bit. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
But what is so like the drama of Illin's card?
Let's go through that.
Illin's card in the back room.
Warm up room card. So, yeah, they were all over it with the production. But somebody put it on the side. Usually somebody walked out.
Somebody grabbed it and walked away with it. And I watched him walk away.
Like a blue jacket?
Sure, technically.
No, I think it was one of the Kazakhstan coaches.
Yeah.
So here's the weird thing. So one of the Kazakhstan coaches picked up the card, walked out with it. And everybody's like, where's the card? Where's the card? And then Pedro said, I heard him talking to what's her name?
Reiki.
Or
Reiko? Reiki?
Reiko.
He says, if you don't show off the presentation, Reiki's out. When they started, and then this big crowd gathered and started yelling at each other. And then all of a sudden, somebody else walks back in with his card, not the same person that took it, and put it back.
So
they're switching samples with the card.
They're doctoring the card. I was in the field of play trying to get the pronunciations that I usually butcher, and I was talking to Reiko, Jesus.
Butchering that one.
and Pedro, and I was like, hey, Pedro, look at the board. And they both turned around and they're like, what the hell is his name doing on there? Like, they didn't know he was going to wave. She had like a 2 second rant meltdown and he withdrew. Well, how did this happen? On and on.
But he didn't withdraw.
He just made it publicly known that he was not going to lift.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody for a second was like, did he troll like the entire weightlifting world and just completely sandbag this whole thing?
No, I don't think so.
Because he was on there, and the other part that I loved is that he was on there with the highest openers of the session.
82-20. Yeah.
Which was
As we discussed last night, according to the Armenian way of competing, he already won.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One
before he was making fun,
doing karaoke
in the discotheque.
I really wanted to say that on air, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put that on the broadcast. Yes. We covered the Illin story. Yeah, it goes on podcast, of course.
I had a chance to talk to him that night. He had no intention of competing.
Dude, he did Gangster's Paradise in Russian on karaoke.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
See, listeners, that's the stuff you miss when you don't come to Austin.
Exactly.
That and a million other little things happen that you will never get to hear, except on this podcast.
I did like
if you team, actually
like
listen.
I sat back like, and there were a couple of people like taking pictures. Like I'm not taking pictures.
Yeah.
I'm in fucking Turkmenistan watching Ilya Day sing a rap song in Russian on a karaoke.
Can't make it up.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. We covered the card.
We covered his next career as a rapper.
You think he's done after this? Oh.
You're gonna find out in the next 6 months because will he get into a meet over the net before
he doesn't right. If he doesn't compete at Qatar,
yeah.
I think he's done.
You see.
Because that's really the last I think that might be the last time.
What is it? No, no, that's December. This is November. There's still, like, early spring.
Like, yeah, he has, like
winter. He's got 6 months from here to get into a meet. There'll be something. So the question is, if over the next 6 months he gets into something, the game is still on. If not, then yeah, it's... Then it's out. And then he's out. And he's not eligible for it.
I think it's one of the biggest travesties. He didn't do anything that nobody else was doing. He's just even getting fucking short-ended stick here.
Yeah.
Well, I think the question is, did he do something that nobody else was doing?
Yeah. Well, I think his federation.
His federation. Illin, no. Yeah, yeah. But his federation.
So I think his federation really has handled this whole... I think part of this is retribution because of how poorly his federation has handled this whole situation.
But do you... Yeah. The win that he pulled off, though, if you think about it, to get cleared is pretty epic.
Yeah.
I mean...
But why go through all that and not compete?
Well... So I think, to your point, from what I understand, he didn't really have to pull up anything, technically, the way the rules are.
But they were the ones that pointed out, like, he was being such the wrong way, prosecuted and persecuted. But, like, they were going after him on two re-hits.
Yeah,
and
one.
They pointed out, I guess I'm oversimplifying this, that you can't suspend me for the second Olympic re-hit when you haven't suspended me for the first.
Double jeopardy.
They're the same.
Right.
They're the same violation. And
which is interesting because all the results in between
were fine.
Have
he's
stayed
still
okay.
World champion.
He's still world champion.
He still had the 246 world record.
Still has a world record. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the shocking, you know, process, IWF process is faulty.
Oh, have you ever seen
that?
The tree,
never happens.
The decision tree of the IWF process?
No.
It's awesome. There's like, if this, go here, if this happens.
Oh, God.
It's got to be circular.
Fishbone.
Yeah.
It's fishbone.
There are like three branches with 10 different outcomes of what happened.
But at the end of the day, I think if the Kazakhstan Federation was played ball,
well, they did play ball for a while. I think that's the issue, is they really played. They played ball very well for a while, and then something happened, and nobody wanted to play with their ball.
It's like a toxic ball.
Yeah.
But the whole fighting, the whole casting, you know, fighting their slots, or not a slots for the Olympics, and there's, you know, there's rumors that the Kazakhstan Federation wants to make like a hostile takeover of they want to run the IWF. So I mean, they're putting heat on Ion, and I mean, you know what happens? We all know what happens to that. They'll go have an Erdo.
Ion survived what was likely a bad outcome from the Turkmenistan government. That was room 541 that said that, by the way. Ion can survive anything.
Teflon down.
So, he's the, like it or not, you probably don't want to push him at all. I don't know.
You want to see Sean get fired up? There's a lifter who's competing today for Spain in the 109s.
Marco Ruiz?
I think it's Ruiz.
Marcos, yeah.
So he popped in Anaheim. Or after Anaheim, asked for his B to get tested.
Oh, I heard that.
And USADA lost his B.
I saw this.
What?
So he got cleared in September of this year to lift at this meet.
And he
had his whereabouts information in.
What did he get popped for?
I don't even remember. I got it in my notes.
Normally, I would be on top of that, but given my... I'm having a meeting with USADA coming up because of my newly... Oh, I can't say that.
You're going to do the Can't We All Get Along?
No, I'm not going to do
Kumbaya meeting with
USADA. Wait, when is this coming out?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow morning.
I'm not saying anything else.
You can't say... Well, what can you say?
I'll tell off to there.
Dude, nobody's listening anyway. Right.
Is there actually a non-disclosure or anything? Or?
Well, I mean, nobody's listening to him.
I'll tell you after the story.
All right.
But anyway, I thought that was amusing, because with all of this other banter and all this stuff going on, the lifter gets cleared because of USADA.
I've never heard of a lost B sample.
Lost the B.
Granted, if they're going to do that, they're not going to do it on purpose for a Spanish lifter.
No,
I don't think so.
I don't know if they have enough money to make that happen.
Spanish Federation? Well, my thing is, listen, the Spanish Federation is part of, let's say, a cohort, including the U.S., that would like to present themselves as cleaner than everyone, and they are, I think, cleaner than others. How clean is up for debate. And so if one of you, let's say, we're a team and we're saying how we're clean, and I realize, oh, shit, Gregor just got popped. Like, it's in my interest.
Yeah.
So,
Gregor.
Wow.
It's in my interest to say, hey, Gregor is still clean.
So, anyway,
I like
you're suggesting that the United States Anti-Doping Agency would align itself with some form of conspiracy because we're friends with Spain.
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm saying, wouldn't that be an interesting scenario? I'm saying I could conceive of a world where it looks better to make sure your friends are also clean and protected if you're trying to project an image of, here is a cohort of people
who
want to
pose in front of I Love Clean signs.
Who constantly pose in front of I Love Clean signs. Yeah. I mean, it just, again,
I've heard crazy things.
You want a unified front. And,
and we have, you guys have mentioned Alexi Nee taking a picture with the I Lift Clean thing.
Which
is just savage.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to, I can't even come up with an analogy for that one.
I have a folder with photos just of people posing in front of that sign.
I feel like that will become.
You're a good listener.
Sean, you can't think of an analogy for it. It's because that will become the analogy to which other signs of absurdity are compared. Like 10 years from now, I'd be like, man, that's as fucking crazy as Alexi Nee with an I Love Clean sign. Like, you found the example, which will spawn all the others.
Speaking of absurdity, we're going to go tour Ashgabat, right?
Ooh.
In a publicly approved tour. We should get rolling.
Oh, I thought
that was tomorrow.
No, we're doing it like right now.
Really?
You want to do a tour,
no, tomorrow,
Gregor?
Tomorrow is the mountains.
No.
I was going to go to the mall, tour to the mall, get a coffee. Are you doing the tour?
I'm on the fence right now.
All
right.
We
can close out this podcast for now so we can also hear Waxman's inside information.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it running. All right.
Right, listeners. We talk to you later, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, it's recording right now. So we have our usual crew, JP, me, Gregor, Mark, Mike, and a guest.
Special guest.
That's you.
Yes, that's me.
Yes.
It's Viviana.
And who are you and what do you do?
What do you do?
I'm a sports photographer. I'm specializing in Olympic weightlifting.
The best sport there is.
There is, that's
good,
right.
Good choice. And Viviana runs the Instagram account Everyday Lifters. Mm-hmm. Everyday_lifters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Follow it, everybody.
I thought it was Everyday Period Lifters.
No,
Everyday underscore? Okay.
No, the listeners are completely confused.
I know. So I trust the owner of the Instagram account. Don't trust me.
And she's here with Lifting Life.
Mm-hmm.
Taking photos.
Yes.
You guys do photos of all sessions.
All
C,
sessions.
D, B.
All of them.
Some A sessions.
Have you been to all sessions?
Most of them.
Holy shit.
I've actually missed a couple A, like if they're at the very end of the day.
Really?
I've needed
to
sleep.
You peeled over?
Yeah. So I got sick in the beginning of the week because I wasn't resting.
Yeah, I think everybody at some point is getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just received a new follower, I guess.
Mike Troy. There we go. Look at that.
Mike Troy, fresh off his 385 kilos.
Yeah. Did you make this? I was going to text you. Is Mike Troy super strong?
we're pretty sure that somewhere in the, you know, a genetic family tree. Mike Troy is
my son. Number five.
What was his? It's Kasam.
Odd job.
Say you up.
John Kim.
No.
He's
son.
Yeah. It's your brother.
Yeah.
He's from Choi.
They looked really similar. Like if he needed to go take a break, you could have put his singlet on and walked around in the back room.
He had a nice power bomb.
He did.
That's a secret.
That was where I made the genetic link, by the way.
The power belly.
Yeah. Crossroads.
So we're fresh off, what was it, the 109B? And the
good
raging
session.
It was a great session, but the raging shit show continues.
Coaching and judging. What a disaster.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's just a mess. And no, leaving blood on the bar, which is actually just gross.
For like 10 attempts.
Seriously. And we're sitting far away and we can see like a silver dollar spot of blood
that
on
much,
the bar.
Huh?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it was unbelievable. And I had said it for like right after the lifter from Kazakhstan, there's blood on the bar.
He tore a callus.
He tore a callus, it was clear. Like, And then all three of his attempts went by. They still hadn't cleaned it up. And after his third attempt, what did you say?
It looked like it was a crime scene or something. It was astonishing.
I mean, it's a war zone.
Yeah.
We see a lot of blood. We see a lot of bomb outs.
Not one, but both of the teams that had two lifters in there signed the wrong cards for their athletes.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
And then, for no reason whatsoever, they just gave the Japanese lifter in the snatch another attempt.
A fourth attempt?
Like, that was ridiculous.
Of course, they switched the names, right?
That was it, but it made no sense. He had missed the attempt in order.
That's our...
They just gifted him a new attempt.
That's our letters, UAE. Not yeah. that means anything.
Oh.
The same marshal.
Same marshal.
And then... Wow. Like, the Japanese coach clearly signed the wrong card in the cleaninger, and then, like, at 26 seconds, they had him on screen, and they had him, like, literally showing, you can translate it into any language you want. Oh, shit. I didn't, you know, I signed the wrong card. And he ran back to the table, and he was well past 30 seconds, and they gave him the change. It was a mess. Yeah. And then the jury has the referee so punched him. They don't know what button to press. That was like five jury overrules in that one session.
Yeah.
How many?
I think the most overrules in one session.
Yep.
And I've never seen two bad lifts turn to good by a jury.
Yeah.
In the same session. In the same meet, I've never seen it, let alone the same session.
In the same year, I've never seen it. There are years of my life where I've never seen a jury give back a lift.
Yeah.
Judges overturn.
Seriously.
That makes me feel better. This is only my second world.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is a mess.
So when I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, maybe this is very typical then. This is what's happening. This is what should be happening.
Not at all. Coaches are clueless, and the jury rules with an iron fist and doesn't make any sense.
No, okay.
Totally nonsensical. It's really, like, remember when Morgan King had her, was it a snatch or a jerk, given back to her by the jury at Pan Am's or something? It was like a year ago. That was the first time in, like, my lifting memory that I was aware of that happening in 13, 14 years of the sport. I'm sure it's happened. I just, you know, I'd never heard of it happening.
It's rare. And I'm just watching this and I think, like, does this shit always happen and just nobody sees it, but now, like, there's more cameras and people are just seeing it?
No, we didn't see it last year at Worlds, we didn't see it at Houston. I've never been to a World, I haven't done commentating at other Worlds.
No, but you've been to how many Worlds? You've seen
six or seven or something. It's never been like this.
And what's the difference, do you think?
I don't know what the difference is. I don't know why the jury is set. It's weird. Like, it's the same people, right?
I've seen better officiating in local meets, pick a spot anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think actually the officiating is okay. The ref officiating is pretty good. I think it's the jury stuff.
So they can overturn.
Right.
They have to be unanimous.
Okay.
But they can.
But I think they're intervening so much that the referees are just like, they don't know what they want.
And I think it's making the refs more inconsistent. Yeah, punchy, like you said. Like, it's just trickle down.
Second guessing themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know what to do.
And you end up, as a lifter, you must feel at this point, I'm not lifting for the three-person ref team. I'm lifting for eight people right now. The refs and then the jury that's going to pass on this other thing. It's really a mess.
So with all of that going on in that B session, when that started, I was like, Wes Kitz is doomed. He is screwed. Like,
yeah.
Just knowing how tough the officiating was going to be all week, like, they're going to be all over him.
But he was fine, right?
He was money.
Yeah, yeah.
He was great.
At 222.
I mean, his jerk technique from the side is very, like...
He pushes it out front,
yeah.
But he somehow he saved 222.
He's so strong.
That back leg.
What a beast.
He sunk it.
He kept bending, and then he sunk. But imagine, like, sinking with 222 overhead and being like,
crazy strong.
I couldn't believe, we've seen lifters do more, we will see lifters do more, but for him to save that 222 in that position,
that's just impressive.
Was just insane.
Is it like an American record? Or?
No, 224,
so. Yeah,
American, I think, which he did in training, in the training camp, Kelsey was telling us in Germany.
Yeah, but it was still a lifetime best for him.
It's a artificial bogey, right?
Meaning what?
The 224, nobody's ever done that.
It was just standard.
That's the standard.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure he'll catch it.
Right there.
Yeah.
That was a good session. It was fun.
It really was.
I love watching the Korean lifters. Like, they're super crisp, super sharp. They're so upright.
Yeah.
Japanese lifters.
What are you smirking at?
No, I know. No, was, I know. There was.
Like, there's a
there
thought
was a
in
thought.
Your head.
No.
Like, it's okay. It's supposed to Korean save
lifters?
For the body.
No, I love the Korean lifters.
Yeah, the look of, like, Korean lifters. What about Germans?
We dropped your Plesnik knowledge bomb on the commentary.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad he was kind of like, after one of the snatches, he was
doing
this.
Rubbing that shoulder.
I mean, he's probably stiffing, but he's a good clean jerk anyways. I think he won Europeans one time, 2016, with like 226 or something.
I think so.
Yeah. Something like that. He's a beast.
How does this Worlds compare to last year's Worlds for you?
It's a lot, can I say? I don't know.
Yeah, just say it.
It was very different. Well, first, on a media standpoint, it was a lot more loose, right? So in California, it was not as strict.
Things
like that. But I'm assuming this is very standard, what, like, in terms of, like, a special pass that we needed and where we sit.
Anaheim was an exception to that, I think. In Anaheim, everybody was just crowding behind fence. And,
but that's really funny to observe, too. Like, in Anaheim, even Houston, you know, after a session, like, all the media would gather around the gate and they were taking pictures of all the medalists and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really funny looking down, I'll call it the media pit.
Yeah.
But, like, the area where you guys are set up, there's, like, four.
Yeah. There's not a lot.
How many media badges do you think they granted in Turkmenistan?
Not a lot. I'm glad I got one. We were pretty happy about that. Although, I can't complain. Like, this was a great competition call when it comes to
even if the
media.
Next few... Oh, for media.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, for access, the Wi-Fi is working now.
Are you staying here, or are you at the other hotel?
No, I'm here.
You're here? Okay.
Yeah, we had trouble with the Lifting Life website getting things up. It was actually banned. Like, we couldn't... which is the irony.
It's dangerous, man.
So you called the president and he got it unbanned.
Yeah, no. So I don't know what Ryan did, but he. So Ryan and Hala. Hala is the CEO of Lifting Life. And Hala competed. She competed under Lebanon. Just recently. So they did whatever they needed to do, but then there was like another step that we needed to take in order for me to upload the photos. So I was able to access. So it was like day five, and finally I was able to get some photos out.
Really. How long have you been here?
I lost track now. Okay. The day before the competition started.
I think we were on the 31st. Same flights, weren't we? You came in with us. Oh, no,
Dubai.
You went through Dubai.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went through Dubai. Where did you fly out of in the U.S.?
New York.
Okay, so you went New York, Dubai here.
Yeah.
Were you on, like, I mean, so you arrived, did we arrive the day before? I don't remember.
No, you got there a few hours before us.
Yeah.
The same day, but like the day before, no, 2 days before the competition. Right?
31st.
I don't know.
We got here the 31st.
31st.
All I know is that the day that we got here, like, we woke up and it was still that day and we were still completely confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, how long did it take you guys to get accustomed to the time change?
I still don't know.
I feel like as of yesterday, I was like, all right, I'm on Turkmenistan time.
Yes.
No, but I'm still a mess because, I mean, like, if you think about it, our work day doesn't start until 1:30 p.m.
It is a weird acclimation,
And, you know, getting to bed at a reasonable hour so far this week has meant like 2 in the morning. Like, that's getting to bed. But if you don't have to be, it's different for you, Viv, I mean, because you're here for the morning sessions, and it's not like we're doing anything, you know, but...
That is going to be a good session.
I was just putting up the 109A. List. 109A.
Dinov, Jan, China, like, there's just...
Simon Matyrosyan, who's ready to clean drug 250 here.
And
Armenian coaching, we'll see.
Yeah.
How many do we have, by the way, with that? I was thinking, like, Hakobian, and then obviously...
Karapetian.
Were there any others?
The girl...
that's Hakobian.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So by the Armenian thing, we mean start really
three gold medals already.
Out.
Start big and bomb out. Yeah. It's impressive.
There were two.
I'm also looking forward to Salwan Aboud from Iraq. He's really fun to watch in a training hall. Like, he filmed a couple of sessions and
there were three?
He really maxed out. Like,
really?
True maxed out, high volume lifting sessions.
pretty incredible guy.
I forgot that he's competing.
The guy didn't respond.
I should have scaled back.
Okay. Weird elbow lock.
But yeah, Ruslan Nurudinov, Olympic champ.
Yeah, whatever he did.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. I don't know how long he's been training, but okay. Probably.
I don't know. He will have a hard time against Marty Rossian. I think if Marty Rossian.
How are your voices with all the commentating?
Fine.
Full of much shit as when we started.
Yeah, I feel fine. I think it's harder for Sally because she's actually like projecting her voice, whereas for us, you almost have to do the opposite. If you're shouting into it, like those mics are super sensitive, and so you can be kind of like you can speak like this, and you're fine. And there's three of us up there, and so it's actually not a lot of talking.
Like, I'm not as bad as I
feel fine. Maybe a little. Like just today, I sort of like my voice is getting a little tired, but I feel fine.
And it's every day, huh?
Yeah. Every day, yeah. Usually three sessions. Terrible. The past couple days, though,
it's misery.
Yeah.
So we were talking before, like Mark and Mike, they've been in the warm-up room every A session, literally. They haven't seen one live lift
on the competition stage.
Do you guys at least, can you turn around and watch them on the screen?
Yeah, we can watch them on the screen, so that's great.
So like, you guys don't care that you haven't?
I don't. It's like Memorex. I'm just as cool.
I realize, like, at this point, the warm-up room is amazing, and I realize we're sort of specialized enough now in commentating that it wouldn't make sense to swap, but I would love to swap for a session or two. I would love to be back there in that warm-up room again.
We were in the back in 2015, Dave, and all we did was me, you, and Jonas. It was during the 56s. They gave us headsets, and all we did was sit back there and giggle.
I know.
Like, we provided zero.
Couldn't believe it. I'd never been in a warm-up.
Do you believe where we are?
I remember being back there for Lucia. I was in Snatch warm. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. What am I doing here?
A lot of people were walking in and walking past the door. They're like, what are you guys doing?
And I remember there's coaches getting kicked out. And I'm like, and here I am. They just kicked out like a Chinese coach. And I'm like, sitting here filming on my phone. Yeah, it was a dream.
Good times.
It was a lot of fun.
So I have two GoPros I can set up in the warm-up area. We have Andrei
Aramnow,
Yangzhe, Nurudinov, or Marty Rossian. Who do I pick?
Aramnow, just because he's classic.
Aramnow?
Yeah. I mean, really? I would selfishly go with Aramnow, but he also, like, if you're thinking about lifters who are popular, it's Nurudinov and Marty Rossian. Aramnow. Aramnow was Olympic champion in 2008.
Yeah, most people lifting now don't even know him.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything since 2009, I don't think.
And to be fair, I think will he get a medal? It's gonna be tough because there's a bunch of people.
Who's number one on the start list? Shikov.
The start list. Nurudinov has a 420, and Marty Rossian.
No, actually number one. Isn't it Georgi Shikov?
Yeah.
Shikov's pretty good too, isn't he? Not in this group.
No.
I mean, Marty Rossian has a 440 entry, so
he's the only one that can challenge Nurudinov, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nurudinov is the only one who can challenge Marty Rossian. It's the other way around.
The other way around. That's fair. I'm just showing respect to the champion. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. We see. I guess I make a last minute decision.
And there you go.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll close this out. 16 minutes. Let's just get it going. All right, we're going. I have no idea. We might have to leave right now.
Yeah, we were just talking about Ruslan.
Yeah. I was explaining that basically I talked to Begaliev. I guess it was earlier this year. I don't remember exactly which meet, but I talked to him one of the meets this year in the U.S. And Begaliev had basically told me that Ruslan had started training for real for the first time since Rio in about January, February, like late January, early February range.
So like 8 months ago.
Yeah, and his goal was Asian Games. Like, he wasn't really training for Worlds. Like, the thing about Nurudinov is that, you know, he, in his mind, he had every medal. He had Worlds from 2013.
Yeah.
He had the University Odd from 2013. He had, obviously, the Olympic Games for 2016. And in his mind, the only thing that was, like, missing from his cabinet was the Asian Games. I mean, he'd been, like, Asian champion and all this stuff. I think Asian champion, but maybe he didn't care. I don't know. But Anyway, so he basically told me that this was back in Klokov Power Weekend, which was the first time, this was the first time that I'd seen Nerudinov since Olympic Games.
Since 2016.
No. Sorry. Klokov Power Weekend. In 2016, which was in November 2016. Yeah. That was the first time that I'd seen Nerudinov since the Olympics. And I remember asked him there, I was like, hey, are you planning on coming back for Worlds next year? And he was like, no, not even considering 2017 Worlds.
Yeah.
I was like, but, so what's your plan then? And he's like, Asian Games. So literally, even in November of 2016, he was planning on coming back for Asian Games. So it was kind of his long-term plan to take time off, let injuries heal, kind of do like the Ilya-style thing, like not compete the year.
Dance.
Yeah. Not. Life. I mean, it's actually strange, like how some people do it differently. Like for instance, Lasha won the 2016 Olympics, and in December 2016, he went to the European Under 23s in
the least competitive continental championships.
Yeah, the European Under 23s in Israel, and it wasn't even like. It was, I mean, you know, I've been to this city in Israel. It's really not like a remote city, but from the point of view of flights, it's a remote city. It's in Eilat, which is like a 4-hour drive from the main airport in Israel, which is Tel Aviv. Or you could take like a little plane. I don't know if they even fly big planes from Tel Aviv to Eilat because it's like a, 35-minute flight. And I've done that flight as well, and it was a little plane. So anyway, for some reason, he went there. Like, imagine going from winning the Olympics to competing. And by the way, this meet was held on a floor platform. It wasn't even a raised platform.
like a backyard meet.
Yeah, and there was no lighting. Like, I sent someone with a camera there, and literally the videos looked like it's the most potato-y videos we've ever shot. Just because there was no lighting. It was held in, like, a hotel ballroom. Like, it was lower end than AO3. And by the way, hold on. I'm just, for anyone from USAW listening, I think the USAW meets are great for national meets. But what I'm saying is this is a
continental championship.
This is a continental championship, and the AO series blows it away.
All right, I got to run. I'm going out. Which is the restaurant you guys went to?
We did not even get close to talking about Nerudinov, but
all anyway. Right, we touched the surface.
Yeah.
More later. And Simon Matirosyan had a great meet.
240.
There we go. All right, I'll see you guys later.
Took that Brazilian food to
heart
with the food continuing to come.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're currently sitting. We're in a yurt.
The preparation of making the plus 108.
plus 109.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
We're in a yurt right now.
A what?
A yurt. Yurt. A yurt.
Yurt.
Yurt or yurt?
Y-U-R-T.
Yurt.
Yurt. Yurt.
Which is
the structure we are in
right now.
Well, I know, I'm trying to, like,
a yurt is like a traditional
handing off, like, explain it, which he's about to do.
Traditional nomadic home for yurt dwelling folks.
is it aligned with anything?
Okay. Nomadic. Is it aligned with anything?
Yeah, like,
did they used to make it on,
like, carpets and shit?
No, yeah, so really, when you're like a herding individual. You can take the yurt down very easily. Like, this is obviously a permanent structure, but, like, you could take it down. You could travel with it in Mongolia, and even Kazakhstan. In Kazakhstan, like, all this region, the nomadic peoples would live in yurts, and then you can move part of the year. This is obviously a very nice example.
This is what they need in downtown LA.
Yeah,
shit on the street.
Do they have wind allowances for these?
The wind allowances?
Yeah, when you move and go nomadic, go across the plains.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're allowed 80 kilos.
They have to be done with, like, carpets and shit,
yeah,
right?
It's like a frame and carpets and skin, skins and furs and whatnot. Most of them probably don't have a Samsung flat screen.
Or an
air conditioner or a crystal chandelier hanging from it.
Every place has a chandelier in it.
Yeah. Everywhere we've been. You know what place doesn't have a chandelier? It's Kelsey's room.
or the athletes who matter.
Yeah. So it's me, JP, Canella, Waxman, Mike Choi, Kelsey. Pedro is off doing what
Trying
Pedro does.
In Spanish.
Stop. Yeah.
To get a Russian waitress to stop.
Every time he's left and come back in, more food has arrived.
He's created
despite
more
his
problems.
Protestations.
I only ordered this.
We had a, like, I want to say it was probably 8-inch high pile of meat brought out. right? I mean, is that crazy?
8 inches.
Eight, 10 inches?
Yeah. Not 10, probably 8.
So, as in addition to several plates of...
Dumplings.
Plov.
Baba ganoush.
Bread.
Baba ganoush, bread, that vegetable plate with the shepherd's, farmer's cheese.
Yeah, tomatoes and cucumbers.
That's native to here, right? A tomato?
Is that like a tomato, or is that...
To the tomato family. Oh, my God. You have to describe this meat plate.
where to begin?
I mean, like, if you were in a Brazilian steakhouse,
name everything that's on
you
it.
Would be jealous.
All right, so, hold on. We had kebab. Beef kebab, chicken kebab.
Shrimp kebab.
Swordfish.
We had liver. Shrimp.
Some kind of fried drumstick.
This is like a chicken patty.
Okay.
Pate.
There's like a burger type thing.
Yeah,
burger.
Like
ground
like
beef.
There
were
the
French
fries.
Lamb chops.
French fries.
Rice.
There's sauce.
Lamb chop.
Another way, he just found another. In one of the stratum of meat, he found another lamb chop. And began eating it mid-sentence.
Yeah,
so Waxman's out for the moment. Yeah.
I'm taking a knee.
This was quite the spread that arrived out here.
And we ordered more food.
Right,
ordered,
what was
we didn't even know about this.
These are the mutton plates.
Yeah.
The mutton
plov,
with pilaf.
Right?
Plov. Yeah, this is
really
plov,
good.
Yeah. And the plov is delicious. I mean, the meat plate was good, but the plov has been the home run for me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, Baba Ganoush, we talked about that.
Right. Baba Ganoush, yeah.
What about the wine and opening it up?
It was kind of a process, both to order it, then to open it. Yeah. But it's Georgian wine. Couldn't tell you what.
Probably going to grow a sixth finger.
It worked for Aram now.
That's right.
Gave him a 201 kilo snatch.
Wow.
205 in training,
just
I think, or 210.
It's a little...
Not today.
Yeah, I was glad to see him, but it was a little...
He had gray hair.
Yeah, he was...
It was a little, like, I felt a little sad.
It's like seeing your hero doesn't live up to
What did he snatch, like 180?
Yeah, 182.
Yeah, no, he snatched 183.
Yeah,
182, 182
or
3. Maybe two. Yeah, two. Yeah.
And then he cleaned and jerked what? 215?
210.
He was born with
six trouble. I could tell he just, like, looked really tired.
Huh?
He told that bell rush.
It's rough, man, yeah.
Like, hey,
it's rough.
Chopped off.
I think I'm done here.
No, I mean, the last time we saw him, he was just like, oh, he was like a superhero.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's not a superhero.
You know what, though? Again, he's only been training for maybe a year, maybe less.
That ain't happening.
I don't think so either, but we can hope.
I mean, if he didn't have to get tested, I'm sure it would happen. It would happen better than it is now. I mean,
yeah.
West South Cleaner.
That's right.
Out-clean
a lot of people.
Yeah.
I knew he would.
That 222 was solid. And that 222, someone said it was an American record.
No. It's one short of the standard.
It's one short of the record. Okay.
But it was his best total ever.
Yes.
By 10 kilos.
By 10 kilos.
Wow. And that's crazy because he snatched more in a competition.
Yeah.
Sorry, the clean and jerk was a 10 kilo personal best.
His best is 74 or something, right? In snatch?
I think so.
Yeah.
So we did all right.
Anyway.
Pretty solid. And then the Armenians, despite their best efforts, pulled
they
off the top.
They couldn't fuck up Simone.
No, yeah.
I mean,
there's
nothing.
It'd be hard
to
lose with Simon Martiros, yeah.
So a guy like that really makes you look like a better coach because they are not good coaches.
Yeah, no, they have not displayed good judgment.
And
what did he snatch? 190.
Yeah, Pedro got, like, taken away.
Pedro's out and about. Pedro left and stuck us with the bill.
He's
really
in a
happens.
Big pot right now. Yeah.
That's Brazilian food.
There's some coming. He's going to be with them. Oh.
So this place was like, they dropped us off. Just kind of stopped.
On a street.
They stopped the van in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And the guy pointed in a direction. And
but not even that. Like, the drivers and the guide, the person that, like, the volunteer from the hotel, were talking for like 10 minutes while in the van just to even get us out of there.
Yeah.
And then he got in and he's like, oh, I'm the Turkmen guide.
I'm going to stay out.
I'll just drop you guys off and then I'll come back.
Get you and you in.
Move in, Bob.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, ready? One,
And then he just said, oh, I'll just take you there and then I'll leave. But they wouldn't let us go unless he was with us.
Yeah.
So that's like scary in its own right.
Yeah.
You know, though, I honestly, like, I feel like with him, I feel better. Because this is a guy who speaks English,
right.
Speaks Turkmen, speaks Russian.
Right.
But we got out of the van and he probably left.
Except for the whole fear thing.
And
that's not
so are
money.
We good, Pedro?
Yeah.
Here's Pedro again.
Two gold boxes.
We got
two
gold boxes.
Two gold boxes, yes.
Sweet.
Take away.
Oh,
and Attila.
Yeah.
And Attila. Whoa.
That's